Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, we have Brendan Cook, Opera Delaware General Director and a Master of Opera. Brendan.
No, you're too kind.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Guillermina. Good to be here.
You are my to-go person when I need to know about opera and why opera is still very relevant, because I've been learning from you why that is the case. But why don't you share with the audience why, indeed, opera is alive and kicking?
Sure. I get asked the question all the time, what are you doing to make opera relevant? And I say, well, it's been relevant as long as it's been around, you know. And what I'll generally say to folks is, if you go to a well-produced production of, say, La Boheme or one of the wonderful greatest hits, these things don't need to be put onto roller skates to be made relevant. You know, if you go to one of these productions and the story and the music doesn't resonate with you, then you probably have to get to the hospital because you might not have a heart. You know, I mean, these relationships and stories are as relevant today as they were when they were written. And, not to mention the fact that there is a lot of contemporary material out there that is, a little more topical in subject matter. So it's always been relevant. It is the... it's the culmination of all the art forms in my mind. You know, you have the music, you have the drama and the staging. I mean, you've got usually a full orchestra in the pit, not to mention the beautiful sets and costumes. So it really is the coming together of all art forms for something that really only exists for a few hours in one night. So you have to be there to see it and believe it.
And I still remember and enjoy every single time that I go back in memory with Amleto.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. You do fantastic work, Brendan, but I have to say that probably Amleto was the best from that season.
Well, we were super lucky to have that opportunity to present an East Coast premiere of a lost work. And, you know, it came along at a really interesting time for Opera Delaware, where we were sort of going under a bit of reinvention. And we were given this opportunity to take this forgotten work that really only 2,000 people living on the planet had ever heard it, you know. And so we got to bring something very, very special to the community here. Right. And, we were very, very proud of it, but we were delighted to sort of shine a light on some of the assets that we have here in this community. You know, we were able to get critics from the Washington Post and from overseas to come to our wonderful city and experience something in our opera house, which, is something worthy of mention, too, that built in 1871, the Grand Opera House is built in the style of many European opera houses. So this music was written for a space like that. And it's really a unique opportunity that we have to bring it to our community, but also to attract people from far beyond. So thank you for the shout out about Amleto. We were delighted, and we still think of it fondly.
And I'm sure that the upcoming season brings that and even more. But let me go to a personal question.
Sure.
I probably never asked, how were you captured by opera? How did that start in the first place?
Well, the story goes that I bought opera tickets when I was 19 to impress a girl, and I don't remember her name, but I remember everything about that night. Ironically, it was Wagner's Tannhäuser, which is a rather heavy, heavy opera for a first time goer. But I remember just being floored by a lot of the things that I just mentioned to you. I mean, so Tannhäuser has, almost a 20-minute long overture, and I was sitting up in the cheap seats, and I remember counting all of the players in the orchestra and thinking, something doesn't add up here. Here are a bunch of professional players, and, my ticket was $50 or $60. I can't remember, but I'm thinking, golly, I'm part of a pretty phenomenal value proposition. And then the curtain goes up and you see this gorgeous set and these handmade costumes and, you know, 100 people on stage mm-hmm. working in concert, you know, to make this spectacle happen. And I was hooked. I mean, mm-hmm. I was studying at that point to be a music educator. And then I said, look, I want to know more about this opera thing. And it's, mm-hmm. There's been no turning back. I had a good run as a professional singer. Mm-hmm. And then back in 2008, I was given the opportunity to start and lead a small company in Baltimore, but then mm-hmm. take that passion for the art form here to Delaware in 2012. So right. It's been a crazy, crazy journey, but
a crazy journey. And you know, one of the questions that I was going to ask also, and it is connecting very naturally to when you were captured by opera back in when you were 19 years old. And today's kids and the millennial type can easily connect with opera. But from your experience and the experiences that you've had revamping, I would say, opera here in the state, how can you make it easy for them? Because it's not always easy to connect, right?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, Guillermina, because, you know, a lot of people, if we're being real about this, a lot of people have preconceptions about what opera is. You know, you jump to the conclusion that it's too expensive. It's not. I mean, you pay more to park your car at an Eagles game than you pay to come to the. So it's not a matter of price. There's mm-hmm. there's this idea that it is sort of exclusionary and only for a certain type of person, and it's mm-hmm. just not true. I think that, you know, when we do get people to come to the opera, they see a very diverse audience in every aspect of that term. Mm-hmm. There's this preconception that they're not going to understand it. Well, you know, we broadcast the translations along with it, so you certainly will. So pretty much every objection that somebody has, I feel like I can overcome quickly when given that opportunity. But I think that the biggest challenge that we have today is when you look at the way that opera is treated in our general media. Mm-hmm. You know, a generation ago, you would turn on the Ed Sullivan Show, and you would have in between the sports stars and comedians of the day, you would have the opera singers of the, like, real legitimate metropolitan opera stars. So we, as a public, at least had a frame of reference for what opera was. Mm-hmm. In today's media, we've sort of become story over substance. Mm-hmm. So it you know, they're not really highlighting the artists that are at the Met. They're highlighting the people who have a backstory that's mm-hmm. going to resonate with the public, and sometimes it's at the expense of portraying what the art actually mm-hmm. is. And mm-hmm. I feel like today, you know, if something is in a foreign language and sounds hard, it's categorized as opera, and that's not necessarily what it is. So, I mean, and if you think about it, I mean, you walk out onto the street and say, who's your favorite opera singer, or, you know, what's your favorite opera? And people are going to sort of jump to that. Oh yeah, who's that 12-year-old girl that I saw on America's Got Talent or whatever? And that's, you know, it's hard for us to combat, whereas I would submit that if we could have that bandwidth and present one of these singers that you've been able to see, mm-hmm. you know, it really mm-hmm. can stop people in their tracks. So mm-hmm. To make a long story short, I think given, you know, being given those opportunities to overcome some of those objections and get someone to try this twice, you know, because it's there's so much more to it than I think what a lot of you know, people, not just millennials, I mean, I think I'm Generation X, yeah. You know, but mm-hmm. anybody with a preconception, you know, give it a look, because there's a reason it's been around for 420 years, you know. Right. it's a pretty thrilling art form.
And it's one of the arts forms that you need to be there to experience things differently. It's not the same thing looking at stuff in YouTube.
Yeah, Sure. Or even, you know, the Metropolitan Opera mm-hmm. now does HD broadcasts to mm-hmm. Regional theaters, which on the one hand is extraordinary. I mean, if you live in an area where you can't see live
there
opera,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I love it. But even still, it's not how, in my mind, the art form was meant to be experienced, because you're separated by a digital transition and a satellite.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you were in the audience that opening night of Amleto when collectively
mm-hmm.
a group of 1,000 people experienced something that only existed for those 1,000 mm-hmm. people. And it's kind of a communal experience that
mm-hmm.
the role mm-hmm. of the audience is a huge one. I mean, it really is that sort of collective have to be their experience. I mean, it's almost a religious one for me, but we won't get into that.
And you had a full house that day, at least. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, we were excited to welcome a lot of people from out of town for those
yes.
performances. In fact, more so from out of town than in town. But it's there's nothing like that. The energy of being in the theater.
Yeah, nothing replaces it.
Yeah, and frankly, the feeling that I think lovers of live music of any sort,
mm-hmm.
The feeling that you have when you're walking around that day with a ticket in your pocket and you know that you're going to do, you know, you're cornering out a piece of your life that night to do something special. You know, the payoff is extraordinary if people are willing to, you know, make it a priority to actually get dressed, leave the house, you know, turn off the TV and participate in something like this.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredibly enriching and energizing, as you know.
Indeed. And while I re-engage with the audience, Brendan, once I come back to you, could you please share what's in the pipeline? Because the offering that you have this season is fantastic and people need to know what's coming up. But meanwhile, let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that you are listening into Delaware State of the Arts, a news talk, 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. We have the tremendous pleasure to have Brendan Cook, Opera Delaware General Director, sharing the beautiful program that is coming up. And Brendan, please go ahead and tell us what's in the pipeline.
Sure. So as you know, Guillermina, several years ago, we switched to what we call a festival format, whereas, you know, rather than having three operas throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
We cram everything together into two weekends to make this a travel destination
mm-hmm.
For people in the region. So the festival is sort of the feather in the cap of the season, and that's the last weekend in April, first weekend in May.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to say we have seven acts across two weekends. This coming spring is the 100th anniversary of the premiere of Puccini's work called Il Trittico, which
mm-hmm.
is a triptych, three one-act operas. Very, very difficult to produce.
Mm-hmm.
So we're honoring that that anniversary by presenting Il Trittico plus one, which there's a contemporary opera written by a gentleman named Michael Ching, which is actually designed to be a sequel to one of the three operas in Trittico. So we're calling it Il Trittico plus one divided by two.
Mm-hmm.
We've got on one night his magnificent Il Tabarro and Suor Angelica, and then on another night we've got Johnny Schicchi and Michael Ching's sequel to Johnny Schicchi called Buozzo's Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, we've got three different acts of Puccini operas in concert here at our studio. Act one of La Boheme, act two of Tosca, act three of Madame Butterfly. So I feel like the festival offers something for everybody, for the seasoned opera goers that don't get a chance to see these works very often, but
mm-hmm.
also they're each very accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking to try opera for the first time, they're one acts. None of them are longer than an hour. You know, great chance to sort of get your feet wet with, you know, maybe the granddaddy of all Italian opera being Puccini. And so then outside of the festival, we have a number of exciting offerings here over at our studio on the riverfront. We start in October with a new program called Opera Uncorked, where we're collaborating with Swig Wine in North Wilmington to do essentially opera and beer and wine pairings. So if you're looking to give opera a try, what better way than pairing it with beer or wine? So in October, we have Opera Uncorked, Arias, Ambers, and IPAs. And then
I
in
love the name, I have to say.
Thank you. And then in the spring, we have Cabernets and Cabaletas. And then also part of the festival, we're calling it a flight of Puccini, which is the three different one acts, but that will also be paired with wine. And then in November, we're presenting a full opera in concert here at our studio, Massenet's Werther, which is an opera that we've never presented in our 72-year history. So we're excited to bring something, well-known to opera lovers, but something that many people don't get a chance to see live here in concert at the studio. So it's a busy year, all focused towards those two crazy weeks in April and May when we're taking over the Grand Opera House and welcoming the world to Wilmington.
Well, there you go. Not only sounds fantastic, but also promises to be, I mean, just the names, I have to say, that it took like quite some time for you guys to put together the names. They are so, so unique and lovely programming. It sounds like you really dedicated the time to put something very different together.
Well, it's very kind. I mean, we do put a lot of effort into, you know, what are those things that are going to get someone to give this art form a try for the first time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean, I should be very clear that when you come to these, get to know opera type events that we have here at the studio, the singing that we present is world class. I mean, these are people who are out singing all over the world. So we may present it in a sort of more casual format, but you're not getting a less than experience when it comes to the vocal artistry that these folks can deliver. So
And before we forget, Brendan, we're so happy talking to each other, and we haven't shared where to get tickets and how to get in contact and all these beautiful things that people need to know to go there.
Sure. The best place to go is our website, which is operade.org. OPERADE.org. Or you can call our box office line, which is 302-442-7807, and that'll ring right here in our office. And if you have any questions, you can speak to anybody on the staff.
There you go. And with that, let me also ask you, in terms of where Opera Delaware is moving forward, in your mind, Brendan, what could be the perfect stage for Opera Delaware in Delaware, and perhaps the form as artistic expression?
It's a great question, and one that I've actually been asking many of our board members as we start undergoing our new strategic planning process. We have a real advantage in answering that question, and that in 2020, we celebrate our 75th anniversary. So Opera Delaware is the, I think at last count, it was the 11th oldest opera company in the country. So we're asking ourselves a lot of those questions internally, but I mean, the short answer is this festival model seems to be working very well in terms of introducing not just Opera Delaware, but our city to people within the region. And, I'd like to be so bold as to say that when an opera lover thinks of Delaware, I want them to think of Opera Delaware the way that when an opera lover thinks of Santa Fe, they think of the Santa Fe Opera. Okay. And I think that we're well on that way. But I want it to be a source of great pride for our community here, given the sort of national and international press we've been able to get. And we just want to keep doing work that is worth cornering out a piece of your life to participate in. We want to keep telling stories through the really remarkable art form of opera, and we want to challenge people and show them what we can do here in this amazing little city.
let's assume that you see somebody like you were at 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this individual guy or a lady doesn't have any idea whatsoever what opera might be.
Mm-hmm.
How can you describe that to those individuals that are going to be exposed to opera, not necessarily opera Delaware, but let's say to one of your wonderful works,
mm-hmm.
To them in a way that might sound, say, sexy, if you will?
Yeah, I think I think selling that sort of idea that this is, it is so unique, you know, and unlike YouTube, you can't hit rewind, you know, and if you think about, I mean, an average production for us, we've got over 100 people working their tails off in real time to bring something to life,
mm-hmm.
that really only exists for those 3 hours. You know, you can't pause it. You can't, you know, hit the DVR. And I mean, you have to invest of yourself to be there. But the payoff is just extraordinary to hear these works of music live. And to, gosh, when you're sitting in a theater and you hear one of these singers unassisted by amplification,
mm-hmm.
Produce even just the sheer volume of it that can blow you back in your seats. I mean, it's an athletic event when you, mm-hmm. when you stop and think about that, but then just the complexity of bringing all of these elements together at once. There's truly no experience like it that I know of, but, you know, I think that power and beauty of the unamplified human voice is something that is especially in a setting like the Grand Opera House. It's such a unique experience that everybody should try it at least twice.
Everybody. And please share how to connect with you in terms of the wonderful programming, tickets and the likes.
Sure. Visit our website at www.operade.org or call our box office at 302-442-7807. Also, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter if you're so inclined.
Well, there you go. And with that, Brendan, always a pleasure to have you. Thanks for sharing the many things that Opera Delaware is doing. And as always, it's always a pleasure to know that you are making opera not only relevant, but alive and kicking in the state of Delaware.
Well, thanks so much for the time. It was great to speak with you.
Talk to you soon. Thank you.
See you at the opera. Bye-bye.